crawling behind the gate. The gate swings into the stretch, and here they come. They're horsing around.
Thanks, Roger. Welcome to Horsing Around. I am Michelle Gatchel, and I am joined by the Black Magic Racing Team of Greg and Todd Luther. Hey, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
So, Black Magic Racing, where are you guys located out of?
We're based out of Asheville, Ohio, just south of Scioto Downs. We're at the Winter Circle Training Center there.
Okay. What brought you guys to my attention is that last week at the Miami Valley Racetrack, a horse named Katie's Lucky Day won. And then I heard the next morning you guys bought her. So I was just curious. Thought I'd talk to you guys because I heard you guys have been buying up a lot of horses. Find out who Black Magic Racing is. And it's this brother team of Todd and Greg. And how are you guys, how do you guys have this broken up?
Greg, yeah, I own all the horses. I own the horses and Todd trains them.
Awesome. And Todd, you've worked out of Delaware Fairgrounds, yes?
Yeah, I did in years past with Brian Brown, and we used to have some horses there too until we needed to get more stalls when we moved to Virgil's.
It's a passion of you guys. You've been in it for years. Two things. One, in this last year, what was it like going through a year of COVID?
For me, you know, obviously it's from the racehorse side, you know, it was a little touch and go as far as, you know, how the, are we going to be racing? You know, are the stake races going to go, that type of thing? And that's always a concern, especially when you have stake horses. For my real estate and marketing business, it's actually been very good. You know, of course, everybody moved to online and I owned an online business. So, you know, while there's some people that suffered, there's other people that have done very well with some of the changes. And fortunately, I've been able to, you know, to do a lot more online.
Nice. And how many horses do you have?
Todd could probably tell you closer. I'm guessing around 50 in training, 45 or 50 total.
Okay. I think we have close to 50 total.
Okay. All right. Are you racing those just in Ohio? Are you taking them to other states as well?
We will be everywhere, I believe, this summer. Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Canada. Hopefully they open back up so we can get back up there and racing some of those races up there.
Greg, so last week kind of kicked off the Sire Stakes and you guys purchased a horse right after it won.
Yeah, we got a nice 3-year-old trotting filly. Her name's Katie's Lucky Day. And we had a horse racing in the Hackett for the 3-year-old trotting fillies. And that filly raced really good. And I understood that she might be for sale at a premium price, of course. And we've been trying to acquire as many stake horses as possible. So I figured that'd be a fun filly to race around the Ohio circuit this year. So we were able to work out a deal on her and got her acquired and ready to start racing.
So do you have your eye on a couple other horses the beginning of this season?
Yeah, I mean, we're always buying. You know, I just set up a website that people are submitting their horses on. So I'm getting 10 to 15 submissions per day at sellmyhorsenow.com, and we're doing really well with that, so I'm able to kind of, you know, pre-screen some of these horses and find some of the better ones out there.
So are you planning on doing like a fractional ownership with any of the horses in your stables?
No, not at all. No, I have no interest in partners whatsoever. All of these 50 horses I own 100% of, and I always joke that I'm tough enough to get along with myself, so I certainly don't want to have to get along with someone else. So no partners or anything like that. If I want a horse, I'll just buy it. I don't need to commingle funds or anything like that. So I'm doing it for my enjoyment. You know, frankly, I don't think I'll ever make money in this business. We're doing it for fun and for family. So, you know, we're just enjoying the ride and no pressure that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And what got you interested in harness racing specifically?
I got involved when I was 12 years old. My grandfather took me out to the barn. So that's been 32 years ago. And You know, I got hooked on racing and became a groom, groomed some of the better horses around the state of Ohio. And I always said, if I ever make it big, if I ever become rich, I'll buy all the big stake horses. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now. So we're trying to buy as many good quality horses as we can.
And where did the name Black Magic Racing come from?
I'm not real sure. We were just trying to come up with a name. And, you know, this has been, I don't know, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, maybe. We were looking for a stable name, and that's just kind of what came to mind for me. I said, this year is make it or break it. If it's successful, we'll keep it. If not, we're going under a new name starting next year. So we have to December 31st to see if it's good luck or bad luck. Yeah, well, this year. This is going to be, with the money I've invested here in the last couple of months, you know, it's going to be make it or break it for the name. So,
gotcha. So what are some of the other horses you've invested in the last couple months?
In the last few months, we've gotten Adios winner Catch the Fire, his younger brother who raced in the Breeders' Crown Captain's Place. He's actually qualifying today. We got Grand Circuit horses Captain Kirk and Chief Mate. Recently acquired that Katie's Lucky Day. Who else have we gotten? We've gotten a bunch of really nice horses here lately. I just bought a horse named Doja Gizmo, who went like 7 for 7. He's a really nice horse. And those are, I think that's all of our 6-figure purchases here lately. At the yearling sales, we invested a little over $1 million on babies this year. So excited to see them getting faster and faster every week.
Mm-hmm. And those are all out at Virgil's?
They are. Yeah. Winter Circle. Yeah.
Winter Circle. Okay. Mm-hmm. With this, do you only have one trainer, your brother, or is there several?
Well, there's two. There's him, and then when I overrule him. So I'm the co-trainer.
That's right.
How fun to have a family business, though. I mean, awesome that you can enjoy. It's not really work, is it?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, from my perspective, and you know, I run several businesses, and working with family is nearly impossible until you learn how to work together. You know, I mean, once you learn there's certain lines you can't cross with each party, you know, certain people want it certain ways. And until you can learn how to flow together, it's usually pretty contentious. And that's true. That was true for Todd and I. You know, I think it's true for all businesses, husbands and wives or anything like that. Until you can figure out, you know, how to operate together, it's going to be impossible. But once you get into that flow, I think it becomes much easier.
Yeah. And maybe taking out the fact that you're family, so to speak, for a little bit, and just business partners makes it easier.
Well, for me, I like it because, you know, obviously with this kind of money that we've put up here, a lot of it comes down to trust. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you've got family, you can certainly trust a lot more that things are going to be done the right way and you're going to do what's best. Number one, for the horse, and number two, for the owner, and not worry about it being some other sort of financial gain or anything like that. So, you know, being that it's involved with family, I think it helps everybody to sleep better at night.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to you guys a little more about the goals, what you're looking for, as well as, do you think you have a horse so far that could win you the little brown jug? We'll be right back.
It's mud season. Are you looking for a fix in a muddy situation? Cashman's has you covered, offering innovative mud control solutions. We are also your number one source for the best deals on rubber mats for multi-use flooring, perfect for horse stalls, garages, and gyms. Cashman's Horse Equipment has been serving the equine community for over 40 years. Come and visit our location in Delaware, Ohio, and shop over 10 acres of equine farm and livestock supplies. Shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Be sure to catch the new podcast, The Top of the Stretch, presented by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. The podcast keeps fans of racing in the Buckeye State up to date on various topics concerning the sport of harness racing. The news and views of top officials, owners, trainers, drivers, and breeders in Ohio. That's the all-new podcast, Top of the Stretch, on the Facebook page of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Be there!
Looking for that special gift for the horse lover in your life? Bow River Jewelry provides custom-made designs using state-of-the-art equipment, hand finishing, and quality stones to ensure your jewelry reflects that love of horses. Bow River Jewelry creates 14-karat gold rings, bracelets, and watches that uniquely exemplify the mutual love between horses and humans. Contact them at bowriverjewelry.com to see the variety of horse-inspired jewelry available, or call 888-860-7483 with custom inquiries.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel, and I am here with the owner and trainer at Black Magic Stables, Greg and Todd Luther. And, you know, in the last segment, we were talking about you guys really have been buying a lot of horses in the last couple months, a lot of sire stake horses. And I was just curious, do you think one of your purchases so far could be the next Little Brown Jug winner?
Yes and no. I hope so. You know, I don't know if you've seen any of the other interviews here, but my number one goal is to win the jug. I hope it happens, but I really hope it doesn't happen too fast. You know, I mean, I love the freaking chase, and, you know, every year being excited for it and that type of thing. So hopefully it happens. We've got this Captain's Place who's qualifying today. He's our best shot for the year. And, you know, he showed promise last year. And then, of course, he's a brother to Catch the Fire. So he won an elimination of the jug. So we're hoping for that.
And are you part owner with Catch the Fire, did I hear?
We do own him as well, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, I do have a partner on him. I should disclose that. In order to acquire Captain's Place, I had to keep the previous owner on Catch the Fire. So he's the only horse that I have a partnership with. And that was just to acquire the deal, you know. So he's a stallion and a racehorse. He's breeding a bunch of mares this year, and he's racing.
Nice. And does he have any foals yet, or is this his first season?
Yeah, this is first season.
First season? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so what do you look for when you're looking at these horses? What are you looking for? What are you seeing to be the great horse that you want to be part of your stable?
From my perspective, I mean, you know, Todd's got some good experience being around Brian Brown for several years, and obviously he's well respected in the industry. So, you know, he's pretty good on the confirmation. For me, it's definitely pedigree first, you know, because pedigree matters a lot. You know, attitude and disposition is really important as well. There are several horses that I like, but just, you know, they were sour or, you know, didn't have a good attitude. So that comes into play. We do look at videos, and, you know, we'll definitely find, it seems like each year I find a couple of them that those horses are going home with me, regardless of what they sell for. You know, like if that's the one I want, I'm going to lose money at 80,000 and I'm going to lose money at 400,000. So just buy the horse. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I never say, that horse is going for too much. So, Todd could probably speak on a little more, but this year I think we found, maybe a dozen of them that we really liked. And sure enough, we went home with every single one of them. Yeah, Todd, is that about where the number was, Todd? Do you recall?
Yeah, I believe so. I think we have 20 babies total, one homebred. So yeah. We, of course, we went to the sales and liked the ones we want, and then we seen others that we kind of liked ourselves, and a couple of the people that worked for me liked a few babies, so we bought them too. So hopefully everything works out.
So for your homebred, who were the sire and dom?
He is Pet Rock.
Nice. And do you have fun naming? Because Kelly and I were talking a couple weeks back about how fun it is to see how people take pieces of the sire and the dom names and put them together for the new name.
Yeah, I've had some pretty creative names over the years. And, you know, lately it's started to get more into, you know, my marketing business and some of the other things I do and the legacy I want to leave, that type of thing. So, you know, we play with it different ways every year, you know, funny names, things that would only make sense to people in the barn, that type of stuff. But, you know, we definitely like that side of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you guys, where are you racing today?
We're qualifying at Miami Valley.
Got one racing at Northfield tonight.
Okay. So you guys will be busy.
Yeah. I'm more worried about the ones down here. The one at Northfield is, he's pretty much Greg's pet. So, he'll be Greg's yard ornament here. And when he's done racing,
What's his name?
Angel's Ransom.
Nice name. So are you done buying for this year, or do you think you'll keep buying?
Oh, no, we'll keep buying. You know, you buy enough of them. They're scratch-off lottery tickets. You buy enough of them, one of them's going to win. So, you know, I'm buying every day. Actually, just before we logged on here, I was looking. I had three more horses submitted on that sellmyhorsenow.com. So, you know, I'll be looking at those. But we're always buying, and two-year-old qualifying season is coming up. So I'll be standing on the fence with a checkbook and, you know, hopefully – acquiring some good horses for us and putting more money into the business. You know, everybody likes to score big. So, you know, I'm happy to be a part of that.
Do you go to claiming races to get horses or no?
That's all I did for 30 years, you know, 25, 30 years. I've done a lot of claimers, but I think we're pretty much past that now. I've kind of put a personal policy in place. They've got to be $30,000 or higher to take up one of our stalls, because of course we only have so many stalls. So you know, we're trying to get really good quality stock, so staying away from the claimers as much as we can at this point.
What's the website for your stables?
Sellmyhorsenow.com is okay. The website we put together for those that are just looking for a cash offer on their horse. You know, there's at the time of this recording, there's a lot going on in Canada right now. So those people need to sell their horses. And sometimes people's got a horse that's just really sharp, you know, that is in a stake race or has won three or four in a row, and they'll put them on there and you know, see if it's something that I'd be interested in buying. So eliminates the need for commissions and, you know, waiting 3-4 days and that type of stuff. So it's just a direct, you know, peer to peer opportunity to sell a horse.
Okay. And does Black Magic Racing have a Facebook page or website for people to go to?
No, nothing at all. I don't do any promotion because it's just me. So, you know, that's what I've always laughed about. Like, I don't need jackets and hats because it's just me. I don't need to acquire anybody.
What are your colors?
Black and blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we thought about maybe starting a few websites, you know, not websites so much as stuff on Facebook. A lot of, I see the trainers are doing it, and it's fun, and it keeps people interested for videos of horses winning or jogging or training. It just gets people interested, I think, for the business.
Yeah, for sure. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us on Horsing Around and telling us how you guys spend your time horsing around.
All right. Thanks for your time.
And we'll be right back with more Horsing Around.
Looking for your next quality standard bred racehorse? Look no further than Sugar Valley Farm in Delaware, Ohio. Sugar Valley Farm offers stud services anywhere in the world, providing the best stallions available at any price point. With a stallion roster full of names like Well Said, Lather Up, Mr. Wiggles, and Down by the Seaside, winning must be in the water. For more info, call 1-740-363-5618. That's 1-740-363-5618 for Sugar Valley Farm.
With more than 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is over $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standard-bred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing. The mission of the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standard-bred industry in Ohio and beyond. To learn more about the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, go to OHHA.com.
Welcome back to Horsing Around. I'm Michelle Gatchel. Kelly Bile and I had an opportunity to talk to John Scott. He is a world-renowned trainer of horses for films and movies. Things like Legends of the Fall, Lord of the Rings. His list goes on and on. In this next segment, Kelly asks him what other animals he's had to train for film and movies. And then we talk to him a little bit about what work life is like in this industry. And then we find out about how he has worked with several generations of some families of stuntmen, including one that does chuck wagon running. Kelly?
What are some of the other animals that you've worked with in film besides the horses?
Well, one of the toughest ones I worked with was a sloth. I did a show called The Zoo, a series called The Zoo. So I had to have a sloth on that, and I looked all over. Finally, I got one out of Florida and got him flown in, and he was a tough character to work with because he wanted to bite all the time. And worked with bears and worked with muskox on a show called Clan of the Cave Bear. And
love the book.
Yeah. One of the tough things we had there, we had a hyena on that picture, and we had to move everything pretty well by airplane or helicopter from the base camp up to the top of the mountain. The pilots were scared to death of this hyena being in their plane with them there, so we had to kind of cross time and everything else, and he was tough. Like, he could take a four-inch stick of wood and just break it with his teeth immediately. He's got such a force with his teeth. But when we got him to the set, he was pretty good to handle with. And I worked with a chimpanzee on a Disney show years ago called The Father's Son. Mm-hmm. And snakes, quite a few snakes, and things like that. And,
so do you collect movie posters and TV posters from the things that you've worked on? Do you have, like, a movie room where you can watch your stuff and see your movie posters?
I've got a bit of a movie room I put together with some pictures. And yeah, I've got some of the posters of some of the better pictures that we did. And they're interesting memories. And that's kind of about all you get out of this business is a few friends and some 8x10s.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, as far as family's concerned, if they were talking about working with you and being in this business, what do you think their biggest complaint would be?
To work in this business? I'll tell you, it's got to be very tough competitive business. I don't know whether I'd recommend them to get into it now or not, but people always get... they get kind of starry-eyed, I guess, when you talk about movies, but it's a lot of hard work. And usually when I budget for a picture, I budget 80 hours a week for the wranglers and sometimes the stunt people. And that's the hours they put in a week. There's a lot of jobs you can't work those kind of hours anymore, unless it's agriculture or logging or mining or something like that.
About how many weeks at a time are you usually on a set when you take on a project?
I think on Lord of the Rings, I was there for 3 months. On The Revenant, I was on that for about 6 months. Some TV shows like Heartland, they used to start up in May, and they'd go right through till December. So that gets to be quite a grind after a while. And
can you only do one project?
It varies. The shows coming up this summer are all about three-month-long shows.
When you do these things, like, you know, June 1st, when you're getting all these extras, do you have bunk rooms for people to stay right on your land, or how does that work?
I've got a few. The key wranglers will stay right here at the place quite often, but a lot of them, we're about an hour away from Calgary, so they can drive out from Calgary and drive back every day, and that's kind of how that works.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a set crew that you usually call upon all the time that are your full-timers, or do you use a lot of different people?
Well, it all started with a group of us that were all friends, and they were close to my age, a bit younger than me, I guess. And now I'm on third generation with some of them. I'm working with their kids or grandkids. So I've kind of worn out the old boys, I guess, or they got too smart and decided to retire.
Now,
I'm thinking I want to marry into the family.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great job.
I don't know if you could stand the cut and pay.
I wanted to ask you, I read somewhere in an article about chuck wagon scenes.
Right.
And you had a stuntman, Jason, I think was his name?
Jason Glass. He's a fourth generation chuck wagon driver. And I've been friends with the family for a long time. And that's where I'm talking about third generations. His grandfather worked with me on Buffalo Bill and the Indians with Paul Newman. His dad worked with me for years and years. That's Tom Glass. They all ran chuck wagons. They're all world champions. And Jason's now around 40 and does an awful lot of stunt work when he's not running his chuck wagon. And he's got all thoroughbred horses and very well-trained, well-broke thoroughbred horses. And it's all about speed game. They run in one-hundredths of a second. It's how they're timed. Uh-huh. And, you know, the prize money that they were running for up until last year kind of shut them down with COVID. But they're running for $100,000 purses. And some of those outfits have got horses that ran in the Kentucky Derby on them. And it's another life for a racehorse. because they don't pack any weight, so that kind of helps their legs quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they love to run. And so a horse that is kind of retired from the track because he's too slow or he's got a knee problem or something like that, he can go on and be a chuck wagon horse for another 10 years.
Oh, fantastic. We just did a show about alternative jobs for racehorses, didn't we, Kelly?
We absolutely did, and I always think that's wonderful because these horses, you know, they have different careers because they are working animals, and so that takes them to different homes with different families, different jobs, and, you know, they live lives just like we do, where you might move from living with your family to going off to college to going off and having your own place in the world, and, you know, that makes them a little different from what most people think of as pets. I love it that horses have different opportunities to step into new roles.
All right. Well, I want to thank Greg and Todd Luther for spending time with us this week from Black Magic Racing and sharing with us how you like to horse around, as well as John Scott from John Scott Productions and Motion Picture Animals for sharing how he's been horsing around for years. We'll see you next week.